Greetings, heathens and harlots, and welcome to Casual Sex with Crumb, the least discreet podcast on the web, recorded, produced, and coming to you live from the remains of my crumbling abode, brought to you by the fine heathens of Squared Circle Entertainment and proud member of the Somebody's Network. I cannot begin to thank you all for the continued support that you have showered upon your humble crumb. For the month of May, we have hit over 1,200 downloads, and I know you're not supposed to talk about your numbers, but who gives a fuck? We're family. I do appreciate every single one of you for the retweets, the shoutouts, the recommendations, checking out the Patreon, checking out the TeePublic. Really, from the bottom of my heart, makes this show incredibly, incredibly worth it. Thank you once again. With all the mushy stuff out of the way, how has your week been? My week has actually been sort of slow, as far as I can tell, anyway. Got a lot to talk about this episode, so not going to spend too much time on the formalities and such. Do want to send a quick shout-out to my friends Throwdown Thursday, my friends Best Darn Diddley, and my friends the Derailers, all celebrating anniversaries of the podcasting variety of sorts, and we have a whole holy fuckload butt ton of stuff to get to, so I think rather than talking about my life, because I have none, let's just get on with the show, shall we? Sounds good to me. It's 2018, and I can't believe we still have to start off an episode with a whole fuckload of controversy. Mo, the monster, Johnson, has filed a lawsuit against Dogfart Productions and director Jim Camp, because in 2018 or in 2017, when we were still far better a society than this, he was referred to as the racial slur during a shoot, the being the N-word. This is insane to me because now we have to come to the realization that somebody was trying to sell this flick on the basis that a white performer would be calling a black performer the N-word and that was going to be a selling point. What the fuck is this? The one thing that I find very conscientious of Mo, and he doesn't have to be in this situation, it's outright ridiculous, is that he's actually not filing suit against the performer who used the word because his understanding is that performer was led to believe that he was okay with the fact that that word would be used. So I can sort of see his graciousness there, and it's amazing. The other thing is that I would definitely sue the director if this was me because the performer in question was asked to use the racial slur right before the pop shot. So come on me, N-word. And that's fucking disgusting. And I have no idea why anybody would enjoy that. I don't know why anyone would agree to it, but money does different things to different people. There's no real sort of barometer at that point. Like, if you're led to believe that it's consenting, then yeah, I mean, I'm a big proponent of consent. You guys all know that. So if that performer thought that consent was there, first of all, I would have asked, but I guess heat of the moment just before the pop shot might not be the first thing on your mind. Anyway, this is going to court as well it should. I hope that the director learns a fucking lesson. I appreciate Mo's graciousness in handling the situation and how he has gone forward, continue performing. And I do hope that some form of justice is done, because this is absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely, absolutely ridiculous. And I do hope, yeah, like I say, I hope some justice will be done. I don't actually know what he's looking for in terms of compensation, but he was apparently misled that this wouldn't happen at all. And then they misled the performer who said, yeah, he's cool with it, go ahead and do it. So, gah. Just a shitty situation all around. I hope that director gets what's coming to him. No pun intended. And kudos to Mo the Monster for handling it in the way that he has. He's been a star. I've seen some of his tweets. Really, really above and beyond. Good human being to handle a very shitty situation the way he's handled it. Just so you know, don't fake consent. Certainly don't bring racism into a shoot. It's not worth it under any sort of circumstances. It's not taboo. It's 2018. Different people are mating with different people all the time. There should be no taboo about color or size or any of that shit. Sorry to start off on a frustrating note, but I did have to get that out there. It's been sizzling with me for a little while. Let's move on to something a little bit more fun. I really should think about adding a segment called Things I'm Not Invited To. Because every week, I find out a really cool thing that I, guess what, am not invited to. I'm not bitter. I'm not jealous. I'm just going to work harder to get there. Anyway, this week's thing I wasn't invited to is something really, really cool. There is going to be an attempt for the world's largest orgy going on in Las Vegas on Saturday, June 2nd. So probably by the time you're listening to this, and hey, if you're actually at that orgy, shout outs, have fun for me. Anyway, it's going to be held at the Erotic Heritage Museum, which is 24,000 square feet plus of permanent and featured exhibits. Apparently on this day, a whole lot of naked people doing a whole lot of naked fun things. And somewhere along the line, it's allegedly going to be a qualitative research project done by Dr. Victoria Hartman, the Heritage Museum's executive director. I don't know what qualitative research you can do with an event that is, I guess, solely based on quantity, but I guess it's really not. I mean, if you're into the multiple partner situation, then you definitely have a great place to go. I would love to hear how it goes. If anybody is attending, please do let me know. This event is being put on by Menage Life, which is a lifestyle company out of Denver. And what they do is they offer quote-unquote connection, fantasy fulfillment, full self-expression, fun, organizational excellence, consent, and communication, and changing the world. That is a really broad mission statement, but I gotta be honest, it sounds like they're doing a hell of a good job. So once again, Saturday, June 2nd, Crumb wasn't invited, but if you are at the world's biggest orgy attempt, put your heart, soul, and everything else you got into it, bang one out for me, and have a hell of a fucking good time. I am hard in your honor, and I salute all of you.
What's up, UFOnauts? It's your UFO guy, Rob Christofferson. Have you ever been curious about the UFO phenomenon, but unsure of where to start? Have you ever wondered about just what crashed at Roswell? Have you ever wanted common sense advice about licking UFOs? The answer's don't. Then check out the Our Strange Skies podcast, where we dive into America's rich UFO history and uncover what these sightings say about ourselves. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, and most podcast apps, as well as Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Don't forget to look up, because you never know what you'll find in Our Strange Skies. In Gray We Trust.
Also on June 2nd, it's another day that we can all be proud of, and it's another day that we should definitely get out and celebrate and support. I'm talking, of course, of International Whores Day 2018. I'm not quite sure when this particular day started being recognized, but it's a way for all sex workers to participate in a grassroots campaign to provide awareness for sex worker safety, sex worker vulnerability, while also bringing to issue such topics as racism and gender equality and all the things that we really should not have to fight for in this day and age, but we absolutely do. I know of two particular marches that are going on. One is happening in the Bay Area in San Francisco. I don't really have much information, but you can check out Arabelle Raphael's Instagram. She seems to be spearheading the campaign, if not outright leading it. The one that I am familiar with, though, is happening in Las Vegas. And basically, both groups will be advocating for the full decriminalization of sex work, protesting FOSTA and SESTA. There, we got it in this episode. And building solidarity within the sex worker community. Now, one of the big things that they're fighting for is the full decriminalization of prostitution and sex work, which should absolutely happen. But apparently there are certain people who want that to go the complete opposite way and turn them into criminals and whatnot. So this march is absolutely very much necessary. I'm not sure if there are any other marches going on around the world. I do know that the day is international and it is being celebrated. I don't know how I'm going to celebrate, but if there's any way I can possibly help out, I definitely will. I will be going down to Toronto, so I might actually wave my flag. I don't have a flag. I don't know what I mean by when I say that. I'm heading down to Toronto. I do hope I'll see some marchers out there. Toronto is a very, very positive city for sex work and for supporting the industry of, and generally for supporting people who are being persecuted for exactly zero reason whatsoever. Mainly, it's another way to get FOSTA and SESTA out there for the absolute abominations that they are, and to get everybody involved in saying, no, 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 sex work is a choice, because it is. Any amount of support that you can possibly show, either in the Bay Area or in Vegas, and I do believe, like I said, don't know about Toronto, I do believe there's one in New York, whatever you can do to get out there and help is what you should do. Absolutely. We can all band together, show our support to people who absolutely, most definitely deserve it and need it. So I wish, although it means nothing, I wish luck to everybody participating in the Bay Area and in Las Vegas, and I support you and I stand with you. I will help fight the good fight however I can. March on, and happy International Whores Day 2018. Hey, it's time for Paraphilia of the Week. This week's paraphilia is something that's actually really close to my body. Samantha, can you help me out with that?
Stigmatophilia.
Ooh, that sounds like a fun word. Can you go one more time?
Stigmatophilia.
Sweet. Stigmatophilia is the attraction to piercings and tattoos, which is something that, if you listen to this show, you know I have a great deal of love and interest in. I don't know where this actually all started with me. I honestly couldn't tell you who the first person was that I was attracted to that had either piercings or tattoos. I have been a fan of body art and body modification for over 20 years. I cannot tell you. Couldn't give you an exact answer. But I will say I wanted to do something a little bit light, because the last two times the paraphilia was a little nye, but I'm really excited to present this one to you because that's basically like my bread and butter. I am pierced and tattooed. Much of the adult work that I enjoy involves pierced and tattooed workers, and I think it's something that is becoming more and more commonplace, which is something that I think we need. There's no reason to hate on somebody's personal choice to modify themselves. 9 times out of 10, maybe I'm being a little generous there, but it ends up being a body improvement. If you go to a qualified artist or a qualified piercer, they can give you the additions that you absolutely can use to your advantage sexually. Once again, paraphilia of the week this week is
stigmatophilia.
Thank you, Samantha, and we will be back next week with another paraphilia.
It's time to bend over. Here's Crumb with the weekly pegging update.
Heathens, harlots, oh my god, 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 heathens, harlots. It didn't happen, but something just as awesome did. See, Chrissy has hip problem, and she said that made certain positions, if not uncomfortable, also all the way up to unbearable. So there's a lot of things that we haven't been able to do or get done in terms of doing each other, but this past week, holy fuck, we actually did something. Oh my god. Yeah. I'm really, really overselling this, but I'm doing so because I'm super stoked and super grateful and happy, and even more so stoked that she liked it. For the first time in our over 5 years together, we actually got doggy style done. And oh my god, not ashamed to admit, did not last long, but it was amazing. Improvements are happening, abound. Yes, please make sure this is a huge bonus to not only research the best ways to do things, because we did the thing where you put the pillow under the stomach and the hips of the receiver, that'd be Chrissy's in this case, and it worked tremendously. So yeah, definitely, definitely, definitely do that. Communicate, try to help out. Most of all, no pressure. I never pressured her for it. I asked if we could try it. She went for it, and we went for it. Booyah! Your Crumb was very satisfied. Oh, yes.
Get out your wallets. It's time for buy and sell.
This is actually a weird one for me, because it's both a buy and a sell, in my opinion anyway. Let me explain. There's a new board game for adults out there called Monogamy, A Hot Affair. The company behind it, Creative Conceptions, has recently come into some really good press. The game's been recommended by Red Magazine, Cosmo, and Top Santé, which I actually don't know about, but that's in the UK, as being very, very good for couples to get to enjoy each other. I'll get there in a second, though. The game has also gotten praise from places like Men's Health Magazine and, believe it or not, Dr. Emily Morse, who is a leading U.S. sexpert. I hope to have her on the show at some point, just so she can diagnose everything that's wrong with me. Let me just give you the promotional diatribe here. Quote unquote. Monogamy lets couples live their own fairy tale that one person can forever meet all your emotional, romantic, and sexual needs. It makes your partner the attractive other and lures you back to one another. It challenges couples to break free from their tired routine, breathes new life into their relationship, and ultimately leaves you aroused in the presence of one another, not another. Okay, that's a whole lot to take in, so let me break it down a little bit. Monogamy is one form of, I'm going to say, running a relationship. That's not really the best way to put it, but I am not yet a sexpert. I'm just a guy on with a show. You all know my big thing is consent. I talk about it every episode. If you gain consent in any way, shape, or form, you should not feel restricted to anything. I'll take this for example. Chrises and I are monogamous. That's something we discussed at length when we first got together, and it's something that has worked very well for us. It has its own sort of level of fluidity, because Chrises keeps saying that some of the porn girls I look at are really hot. So, I don't know. There's not going to be anything serious out of that. I mean, you know, you've heard the weekly pegging update. We're getting there. But I don't think that bringing another person in is going to happen. But the fact of the matter is, beforehand, I was actually non-monogamous. I'm not really sure what I was. I'm not great with labels. But the idea that monogamy is the only way that a couple can operate kind of puts this in the sell column for me. Now, what puts it in the buy column for me is the fact that it is a really great way, I think, to get couples to open up and communicate. Communication leads to consent, and that leads to happiness. Or communication leads to non-consent, and you move on and try something else to get back to that happiness. Either way, this is all sort of wrapped up in a weird-looking little Monopoly board-like structure, and I do believe the playing pieces are dildos. I only have the one picture, but it's actually pretty cute. But the idea of opening conversation with the person you're with, to me, is key. I've said it millions of times. I just don't necessarily know. I mean, if that's what you need, if a board game is going to help begin that conversation, then yeah, go for it. Myself, personally, I am now, granted, I'm old, I am more than comfortable enough with myself to explain to Chrises that I need certain things. She is breaking out of her shell more and more, and she's able to tell me that she needs certain things. So would this game work, for example, for us? Probably not. Could this game work for another couple? Absolutely. I just don't know. So this one, I'm going to leave on sort of the fence there. It's the first time I'm doing this, but monogamy is a maybe, I guess. I don't know. Let's move on.
This really got us going. Here's Crumb with Scene of the Week.
Remember a couple of weeks ago where I mentioned that a friend of mine is really, really into Arabelle Raphael? Well, if I didn't mention it, I'm pretty sure I did, but anyway, I'm mentioning it now. A friend of mine is really into Arabelle Raphael, and it got me thinking I hadn't really paid that much attention. I mean, I know who she is. I am a fan of her look. Haven't really checked out too much of her work. So this week's Scene of the Week is an Arabelle Raphael POV blowjob, which honestly does not have a name or a title, or maybe it does. I don't know. We're not really watching for that, are we? This scene got to me in a way that I never expected it would. She does not get naked, and a big thing for me, I'm a visual person, hence I'm on an audio podcast, but I'm a visual person, and I really, really need to see nudity. I don't know why, just the way I am, but she keeps it covered and mostly clothed. I mean, she's got a very, very low-cut tank top, but you never get to see nipple. She's got an amazing set of booty shorts, covers up a great ass. It's a sort of a POV 69, so it's her. It's the POV of watching her, and you don't get to see anything that's happening to her, which is pretty cool, but pretty big tease, if you ask me. The thing that really got to me, it's about a 15-20-minute video. She makes the most amazing noises I have ever heard. They are both delicate and sexy at the same time, which is a really, really weird combination when you think about it, but I really got off knowing that she was getting off getting this guy off, if that makes any sense. Bonus points for wearing glasses during at least part of this. She scores mega points for taking what I think is 8 inches deep throat. So I would strongly recommend this. I do believe it's on her official Pornhub that I found it. So you can just go on to Pornhub, search Arabelle Raphael, and it's in there. She has a lot of blowjob videos on there. I guess that's sort of her thing for Pornhub. And I strongly recommend it, especially if, as we mentioned, the stigmatophilia earlier. She's got body piercings, she's got tattoos, she's gorgeous, and she does a really killer job in this scene. So check it out. Tell her Crumb sent you, because eventually I want to have her on the show. I'll be honest with you. This last segment is basically an additional scene of the week, with the only caveat being I actually haven't seen the scene. I've only seen the trailer, but I really had to share with you. This has been sort of a heavy episode, so I really, really wanted to bring back the levity. Just have a good time to sort of finish off, get a really good pop shot in there, if you will. May 18th marked the release of Deadpool 2. May 27th marked the inevitable release of Deadtool, the Jerk with a Johnson. Coming to you from Digital Playground, Xander Corvus, who is far and away becoming one of my favorite male performers to watch, not only plays himself, but he also plays Deadtool. How the scene goes down, at least from what I can tell, is that Xander himself arrives on set to shoot a scene, but for some reason there's a hit on him. Deadtool is the guy who has to pull the hit. Kind of playing fast and loose with the history, but you know what? It makes for a good idea. Anyway, for some reason, Deadtool ends up killing actual Xander Corvus, and then Xander Corvus in Deadtool regalia, and the costume is fucking amazing, by the way, gets to do the porn scene. Yeah, you get to see full-on Deadpool fucking Jessa Rhodes, which is amazing. Now, again, I've only seen the Safe for Work trailer, so I can't really comment on it. I just really got a kick out of seeing the trailer, got a kick out of seeing the promotional material, and I think you'd get a kick out of watching it, especially if comic book parodies are your thing. So definitely check it out at Digital Playground. And I'm sure there are links on Twitter for Xander and Jessa. And it also actually stars Evan Stone as the grizzled porn vet director, which is absolutely fantastic. He is one of the godfathers of modern day porn, as far as I'm concerned anyway. So with an all-star cast like that, you absolutely cannot go wrong. My recommendation for this one is definitely go check it out. I'm actually going to as well. I just wanted to get this in on this episode so I wouldn't let it go by and I wouldn't miss it. On that note, we're going to get to the outro. With that, heathens and harlots, this round of oral stimulation comes to a hopefully satisfying end. If you enjoyed the show, tell me and tell everyone you know to tell everyone they know. I appreciate all the support and definitely enjoy sliding in between your ears each and every week. So I'll be back in just a few short days. So until then, if you can't be good, be good at it. This podcast is part of the Some Buddies Network. You're never alone when you've got some buddies.